From the Voice of America, this is Asia Weekly. Beijing has weighed in on the legislative election in Hong Kong. As a result, two newly elected representatives, and perhaps many more, may lose their seats. What does Chinese President Xi Jinping envision as one China? Hi everyone, I'm Steve Miller. Last week, Chinese President Xi Jinping addressed those in Beijing's Great Hall of the People, commemorating the 150th birthdate of Sun Yat-sen, the man many consider to be the founder of the country. During his address, he made it clear that looking forward, there was only one China.
All activities attempting to split the country will definitely be strongly opposed by all Chinese people. We will resolutely not allow anyone, any organization, any party to split any bit of territory from China in any way at any time.
It was the next to the last stop on a long train of events that began in the summer of 2016, when Hong Kong required those seeking office to pledge their loyalty to One China. John Minnick, East Asia analyst for Stratfor Global Intelligence, forecasted events following the election on this very podcast.
This move is not a one-time event, not a one-time shot, but a node in a larger process that we see unfolding in the same basic trend going forward.
David Lampton, director of China Studies at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, added,
"Where it ultimately ends up in terms of degree of tolerance is anybody's guess. But I think the space for civic activity and what I call citizen participation in meaningful governance, unfortunately, that's going down in both China and, I'm afraid to say, Hong Kong."
When the Hong Kong elections were all said and done, the Legislative Council saw the election of Nathan Law, one of the many faces of the Occupy Central movement in 2014, and others who advocated for either the Special Administrative Region's self-determination or independence. During the oath-taking ceremony for these new public servants, Sixtus Leung and Ya Wai Ching, members of the Youngspiration Party, deviated from the standard text. Appearing draped in a flag that read, "Hong Kong is not China," Sixtus Leung pledged loyalty to a Hong Kong nation. Ya Wai Ching appeared to have slipped in a profane remark when reading the People's Republic of China. Their oaths were not accepted. The pair was also denied the ability to sit in their newly elected seats, and a legal challenge was filed as to whether or not to afford them an opportunity to take the oaths again. While the matter was in Hong Kong's High Court, China's National People's Congress, or the NPC, issued their interpretation of Hong Kong's basic law, noting an oath-taker who intentionally reads out words which do not accord with the wording of the oath prescribed by law, or takes the oath in a manner which is not sincere or not solemn, shall be treated as declining to take the oath. The oath so taken is invalid, and the oath-taker is disqualified forthwith from assuming public office. Hong Kong's chief executive, Chun Ying-lung, supported the interpretation.
"I and the SAR government support the interpretation passed by the NPCSE today. As the chief executive of the SAR, I have the duty to implement the basic law in accordance with Article 48 of the basic law. I and the SAR government will implement the interpretation fully. Hong Kong is an inalienable part of the country. The Hong Kong people have the duty to uphold national unity, territorial integrity and security, as well as the dignity and interests of the Chinese people."
Others in Hong Kong were opposed, like Civic Party legislator Dennis Kwok.
"They use the label interpretation of the basic law, but what in fact they're doing is interpreting and interfering with domestic Hong Kong legislation. The legislation being the Oaths and Declaration Ordinance. These are domestic legislation that has to be enacted through the Hong Kong legislature and nobody else. And that is why we see that the damage that will be done by this interpretation to the rule of law and the system in Hong Kong is unprecedented.
Beijing is using the apparent rise of localist sentiments and even protests as a pretext to squeeze Hong Kong further, as a pretext to crack down on Hong Kong. We must remember that the issue of so-called self-determination and even pro-independence activities arose in Hong Kong only because Beijing has not lived up to its promises of making Hong Kong highly autonomous.
In total, 15 localists and pan-democratic party members' oath are under review based on the National People's Congress interpretation. But pro-Beijing lawmakers are also facing scrutiny for varying pronunciations of words or omitting the word Hong Kong in their oaths, as Chief Executive C.Y. Leung did in 2012. This week, Judge Thomas Au of the High Court in Hong Kong said in a written statement on November 15th, Mr. Leung and Ms. Yao have been disqualified from assuming and have vacated the office of a member of the Legislative Council. The oaths purportedly taken by Mr. Leung and Ms. Yao on October 12, 2016, are invalid and void and have no legal effect. Au also said the manner in which the pair took their oaths showed that they weren't intending to abide by the basic law, and that regardless of Beijing's interpretation, the court would have arrived at this decision. Appearing before a group of reporters, Ms. Yao said that she wasn't surprised.
The ruling just delivered says the government wins the lawsuit. My and Sixtus Leung's legislator qualification has been untitled immediately. Now we and our assistants are banned from entering the Legislative Council complex. This is the judgment we have got. Today, I must stress that me and Sixtus Leung were elected by 20,643 and more than 30,000 voters in election in September. If the court has to use this way to disqualify us from being legislators, I think everybody has an idea of what our society is like.
Jonathan Miller, fellow for the China, East Asia, and United States program at the East-West Institute.
The crucial area of scrutiny here continues to be the response and resolve of the Hong Kong government rather than the predictable heavy-handed tactics from Beijing. So I think that this calls into question really whether the Hong Kong government will respond to a future incident perhaps with even more attention, or how it's going to kind of balance its kind of relationship with Beijing.
Following Hong Kong's pro-democracy demonstrations in 2014 and the election of pro-independence candidates to the Legislative Council, Miller says Xi's comments were designed to send a message.
I think he wanted to hammer home that there's a red line when it comes to party control. Anything that's perceived to erode the legitimacy of the Chinese Communist Party will be tightly cracked down upon.
In Washington, United States Senators Marco Rubio and Tom Cotton introduced the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. In a written statement, Cotton said the act would renew the United States' historical commitment to freedom and democracy in Hong Kong at a time when its autonomy is increasingly under assault. He also added the bill would establish punitive measures against government officials in Hong Kong or mainland China who are responsible for suppressing basic freedoms in Hong Kong, especially in connection with the abduction of certain booksellers. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends, and of course you can get it delivered to you automatically by subscribing in iTunes or downloading it on voanews.com. That's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. From Washington, I'm Steve Miller.